Penguin Audio presents Toast, the story of a boy's hunger, written and read by Nigel Slater.
My mother is scraping a piece of burnt toast out of the kitchen window, a crease of annoyance across her forehead. This is not an occasional occurrence, a once-in-a-while hiccup in a busy mother's day. My mother burns the toast as surely as the sun rises each morning. In fact, I doubt if she's ever made a round of toast in her life that has failed to fill the kitchen with plumes of throat-catching smoke. I'm 9 now, and I've never seen butter without black bits in it. It's impossible not to love someone who makes toast for you. People's failings, even major ones such as when they make you wear short trousers to school, fall into insignificance as your teeth break through the rough, toasted crust and sink into the doughy cushion of white bread underneath. Once the warm, salty butter has hit your tongue, you're smitten, putty in their hands. Christmas cake. Mum never was much of a cook. Meals arrived on the table as much by happy accident as by domestic science. She was a chops and peas sort of a cook, occasionally going so far as to make a rice pudding, exasperated by the highs and lows of a temperamental cream and black Aga and a finicky little son. She found it all a bit of an ordeal, and wished she could have left the cooking, like the washing, ironing and dusting, to Mrs. P, her woman what does. Once a year there were Christmas puddings and cakes to be made. They were made with neither love nor joy. They simply had to be done. "I suppose I'd better do the cake," she would sigh. The food mixer, she was not the sort of woman to use her hands, was an ancient, heavy Kenwood that lived in a deep, secret hole in the kitchen work surface. My father had, in a rare moment of do-it-yourselfery, fitted a heavy industrial spring under the mixer, so that when you lifted the lid to the cupboard, the mixer slowly rose like a corpse from a coffin. All of which was slightly too much for my mother, my father's quaint Heath Robinson craftsmanship taking her by surprise every year, the huge mixer bouncing up like a jack-in-the-box and making her clap her hands to her chest. "Oh, heck," she would gasp. It was the nearest my mother ever got to swearing. She never quite got the hang of the mixer. I can picture her now, desperately trying to harness her wayward Kenwood, bits of cake mixture flying out of the bowl like something from an I Love Lucy sketch. The cake recipe was written in green biro on a piece of blue Basildon bond and was kept, crisply folded into four, in the spineless Aga cookbook that lived for the rest of the year in the bowl of the mixer. The awkward, though ingenious, mixer cupboard was impossible to clean properly, and in among the layers of flour and icing sugar lived tiny black flour weevils. I was the only one who could see them darting around, none of which, I suppose, mattered if you were making Christmas pudding, with its gritty currants and hours of boiling, but this was cake. Cooks know to butter and line the cake tins before they start the creaming and beating. My mother would remember just before she put the final spoonful of brandy into the cake mixture, then take half an hour to find them. They always turned up in a drawer, rusty and full of fluff. Then there was the annual scrabble to find the brown paper, the scissors, the string. However much she hated making the cake, we both loved the sound of the raw mixture falling into the tin. "Shh, listen to the cake mixture," she would say. And the two of us would listen to the slow plop of the dollops of fruit and butter and sugar falling into the paper-lined cake tin. The kitchen would be warmer than usual, and my mother would have that "I've just baked a cake" glow. "Oh, put the gram on, will you, dear? Put some carols on," she would say, as she put the cake in the top oven of the Aga. Carols or not, it always sank in the middle. The embarrassing hollow, sometimes as deep as your fist, having to be filled in with marzipan. Forget scented candles and freshly brewed coffee. Every home should smell of baking Christmas cake. That and warm, freshly ironed tea towels hanging on the rail in front of the Aga. It was a pity we had Auntie Fanny living with us. Her incontinence could take the edge off the smell of a chicken curry, let alone a baking cake. No matter how many mince pies were being made, or pine logs burning in the grate, or how many orange and clove pomanders my mother had made, there was always the faintest whiff of Auntie Fanny. Warm, sweet fruit, a cake in the oven, wood smoke, warm ironing, hot retriever curled up by the Aga.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?